Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, a South Texas community partner for generations. Christus Spahn is proud to be a part of your life, caring for families and providing quality medical care to all. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, the Dr. and Mrs. Hugh A. Kennedy Foundation, and the Koch Foundation, supporting the Catholic Church and its ministries across South Texas.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
Morning. Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral. Thank you for joining us here this morning, and those of you joining us from home or wherever you may be this morning via television, radio, intranet, or social media. On behalf of our rector, Father Pete, who is unable to be with us this morning due to being under the weather, he prays that this day is filled with the joy, peace, and love of Christ for you and all those who are dear to you. We are blessed this morning to have a good friend of ours as celebrant, Monsignor Larry White, one of our retired priests of the diocese. Monsignor White, welcome this morning.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. My brothers and sisters, to prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries, let us call to mind our sins and ask God for His forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who, for the faith they profess, are accounted Christians, the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ, and to strive after all that does its honor. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now, and not only that, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we await for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. The word of the Lord.
From the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The disciples approached him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look but do not see, and hear but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You shall indeed hear but not understand. You shall indeed look but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted and I heal them.' But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed shown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. And the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord.
Most loving and gracious God, this morning we thank you and we praise you for all the love that you have for us, for the gift of your word. And we ask you in a very special way that you would pour your Holy Spirit deep within our hearts, to open up our hearts and our minds to receive that word, and then to give us the courage and the strength to live that word. And Father, I ask you now to send me that same Holy Spirit, that I may preach as you want me to preach. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. As I was walking into the cathedral, especially when I got to the chair, it brought back a lot of memories, because 50 years ago, I began my priestly ministry here, and I was assigned, as in those days we called them assistant priests, to Monsignor Schmidt. And I have a lot of fond memories of being here in this cathedral. It's always a challenge, I think, to preach God's word, especially after having been in a church or preached a homily in 4 months. You have to excuse me and get my mind back working together again. But the word of God this morning is a very powerful word, and a word that challenges us in many different ways. In the first reading, Isaiah talks about the word of God being like rain that God sends down upon the earth to give it life. About probably now 4 weeks ago, the grass around South Texas was turning brown. The weeds seemed to thrive, but the grass and flowers were wilting. And then we began to have rain. It's amazing to me how one rain shower changes a brown scenery to green and gives it life. And that's what God's word does to us, Isaiah says. He sends us his word to give us life. And we respond back to God by giving back to God the fruit of that word as we live our lives. Our challenge is to live that our life according to that word. And I don't know about you, but I have difficulty doing that a lot of times. We have to really look at God's word and take it to heart, because things happen to us, as St. Paul says in the second reading. He reminds us that there's going to be a lot of suffering in this life, a lot of pain. And if we're not careful, we can get lost in that suffering and that pain and forget about the love that God has for us. He says that the pain and suffering we go through also helps us to gain eternal life. But we need to keep focused on that life that God has promised to us, the joy of being in heaven. And especially during this pandemic, where every time you turn on the television or look at the news or look at the newspaper, it seems to get worse and worse, and it's all bad news. And we can lose hope if we're not careful. And we can't do that. We always have to have the hope that God has given to us. In the gospel, we have a story, a very beautiful story, that challenges us in many different ways. Now, in the time of Jesus, they didn't have John Deere tractors who go out and dig furrows and you plant your seed into it. What a farmer or a guy would do, he'd probably put a bag of seed over his shoulder. And this shows the abundance of God's love to us. He would put his hand in a bag and take the seed. As he walked, he would throw the seed on top of the ground. And it would land in many different areas, as God's love does for us. God always gives us what we need in life. But do we always accept that love that he gives to us? Are we willing to commit ourselves to live the love that he has for us? And then the farmer, the guy sowing the seed, would go back and put dirt on top of the seeds. Now, as this parable shows, Jesus, you know, Jesus was a great storyteller. He was probably, as he was talking to the crowd, looked up and he probably saw a guy on the mountainside sowing seed. So he takes the living example that was in front of him and applies it to our lives. He says some of that seed the guy was throwing is like throwing it on the pathway, the sidewalk. And the birds would come and eat it up. We hear God's word. Every time we come to Mass, God speaks to us. But a lot of times it's like falling on that pathway. We just don't listen. We just don't hear what God is saying to us. And we use the excuse, well, I don't understand. God will also, if he sows the seed, he will help it germinate. We understand what he wants us to do. And then he said, some of that seed, it falls on a rocky ground. A rocky ground is, on top it looks like there's a nice fertile soil. But under it is rocks. I lived in Mexico for 3 years. And up in the mountain, the same as in the Holy Land, you'll find this. It looks like great ground to grow stuff in. But the earth is only about an inch thick or so. So the seeds go and they germinate and they begin to sprout. Because they can't put any roots down, they eventually die. And some of us, we're that kind of soil. We hear God's word, we get so excited. How many times you come to Mass and you hear the scriptures being proclaimed to you, you pick up your Bible and you hear read a word of God, and say, God, this really means something to me. And 10 minutes later, you don't remember what it was. How often do we come to Mass, listen to God's word, walk out the door, and we can't remember what the readings were about or the homily? Because the roots haven't taken place. Are we that type of soil? Do we get excited when we hear God's word, but then let it die? And some of the seed, you know, the guy had a field of plow seed in, and a lot of times they would put a hedge around it of bushes and thorns and thistles, and some of the seed would go into that. Well, you and I, we live our lives surrounded by a hedge like that. Just think of all the things in life, all the temptations we have to keep us away from God. We have addictions to alcohol, to drugs, to pornography. We get so embedded in our world in which we live, our pride gets in the way. If you ask me, one of the major problems we have in our society today is pride. We think more about ourselves than we do about the other. And that's just the opposite of what Christ asks us to do. And so when they hear that word of God, there's no room for it to grow. It gets choked and it dies. Some of us are dying because we're allowing the life of Christ to be choked out of our life, to kill the life that God has given to us. We have to be more willing to be more fertile and let God's word take root. And then for some, hopefully more than less, the word of God falls in its own fertile ground. We hear God's word, it begins to take root in our lives. But when God's word takes root in our lives, it also means that you and I are going to have to change. It is impossible, I think, to come and listen to the word of God, The same as it is impossible for us to come and receive Holy Communion and remain the same person we were before. We have to be willing to let God's word take root and to grow. And if it grows, we'll have to respond in a different way to the things around us. Now, for example, Jesus tells us that he always calls enough people from the society to take care of our spiritual needs. But young people today get so caught up in the world of me that they can't hear what God is saying. And that happens to us in many different ways in life. And we are then don't respond. Therefore, we have a shortage. We have a shortage of love in our world today. We are so engrossed in the me and doing what I want to do that we forget that God's love opens us up to others. It makes us more concerned about reaching out and helping someone else than it is about ourselves. God's word demands a change in our life. The question is, are you willing to make that change? You know, sometimes I listen to God's word and I get so excited about it, I'm really going to change. And I start off well. But it has to be a daily reminding of myself of the power of that word, or it will die. When you love someone, you don't just love them once, do you? The more you love that person, the more you grow in that love. And the same it is with God. The more we allow God's word into our lives, the more we grow in love with Christ. And the more we grow in love with Christ, the more willing we are to live our lives the way that he wants us to live our lives. And St. Paul says, assures us, even though living the life in this world the way God wants, many times will demand that we suffer or have pain in our lives. We can't give up. We always must stay focused on God and put his word back in the center of our lives. The Eucharist, when we come together, unites us into the body of Christ. And that's a beautiful, beautiful expression, because it means that you and I, no matter what color we are, how big or how rich or how poor we are, we're all made in the image and likeness of God. And that we form ourselves into the body of Christ here on this earth. And when we realize that, we're more willing then to let the love of God direct how we live our lives. But we have to let God's love work in us. And we have to respond to that love to help it grow. We need to spend time with him. So the Eucharist gives us the spiritual food, the spiritual energy we need to take the word of God that we have just heard and apply it to our lives and see what God is saying to me. God says something to me. He says something different to you or back there in the back, someone else. But yet he's speaking to each one of us. And if we listen to what God is saying to us, we will come together and grow and become that body of Christ, that oneness that he speaks about and he wants us to be. Are we willing to open up our minds and our hearts to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to guide us? After all, he is the advocate that Jesus said he was sent after his resurrection. But do we listen to him? How often do we think about the love that God has for us and what that love means? Many times in life, things happen and we say, God doesn't love me anymore. It's impossible for God not to love us. It's against his nature. But it's certainly, according to our nature, we can stop loving him. And when we stop loving him, we're like cutting off the supply of energy that we should have that comes from God. So love God with everything you have. Put Christ back in the very center of our lives. And let us begin to think of those around us more than others. I may not like wearing a mask out in public or in a store, but I know wearing a mask, I'm helping prevent someone else from getting sick, plus myself from getting sick. and washing my hands. I must have the cleanest hands around anymore. I've learned to wash so well, you know. That's what we need to do. Think of the other. And use what's happening to us in our world today as a moment of growth to see how we can really reach out and be there for each other. Again, put Christ back in the very center of your lives and let Him be the reason for everything you do and the source of everything you do. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, and who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Inspired by the Word of God, we turn now to the Lord with all our needs and the needs of our sisters and brothers around the world.
For the Church, that we may emulate the model of the sower, and that the seed we sow may produce good fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the thorns of disease, hunger, and poverty that have a chokehold on the most vulnerable may be cleared away, thereby allowing the fruits of God's goodness to flourish in all corners of the world, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For an end to gun violence, that we may collectively turn toward peace and bring forth a world without the senseless loss of life in shootings, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of us in this faith community, that God may shelter us from all our fears and comfort us in our distress, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That God may extend His healing hand upon those who continue to be affected by the coronavirus and bless those who minister to them, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the eternal repose of the souls of Marcos Elizardo, Larry Puig, Joe Cueva, Deborah Garza, Fernando Rodriguez, Ana Campos, Oscar Garcia III, and the deceased members of the Mew family, and in thanksgiving to Our Lady of Guadalupe, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now, my dear friends, for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these, our personal needs, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Now please join me in praying the prayer to Our Lady of Guadalupe, found in your order of worship, and for an end to the coronavirus pandemic. O Holy Virgin of Guadalupe, Queen of the Angels and Mother of the Americas, we fly to you today as your beloved children. We ask you to intercede for us with your Son, as you did at the wedding in Cana,
Pray for us, loving Mother, and gain for our nation and world, and for all our families and loved ones, the protection of your holy angels, that we may be spared the worst of this illness. For those already afflicted, we ask you to obtain the grace of healing and deliverance. Hear the cries of those who are vulnerable and fearful. Wipe away their tears and help them to trust. In this time of trial and testing, teach us in this church to love one another and to be patient and kind. Help us to bring the peace of Jesus to our land and to our hearts. We come to you with confidence, knowing that you truly are our compassionate mother, health of the sick and cause of our joy. Shelter us under the mantle of your protection. Keep us in the embrace of your arms, and help us always to know the love of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Look upon the offerings of the Church, O Lord, as she makes her prayer to you, and grant that, when consumed by those who believe, they may bring ever greater holiness through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
And let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For in you we live and move and have our being. And while in this body, we not only experience the daily effects of your care, but even now possess the pledge of life eternal. For having received the first fruits of the Spirit, through whom you raised up Jesus from the dead, we hope for an everlasting share in the Paschal mystery. And so, with all the angels, we praise you, as in joyful celebration we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church, spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, and with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever."
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with you.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter into my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. The body of Christ.
We have a prayer of spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament of the altar. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Father Peter Alisandro, Rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Mulvey and the Cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with His love, peace, and joy. And may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, a part of your life, providing advanced quality care and vital services close to home and dedicated to keeping South Texas healthy and strong. More information is available at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast. If you have been blessed by our efforts and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.